This Fan Run podcast is brought to you by DraftKings.
Football fans, I'm sure we all love an action-packed, high-scoring NFL game, but the latest no-brainer from DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL, you'll be a winner once single points are scored. New customers who bet just $1 on any team to score can win $100 in free bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use promo code FANRUN in all caps. Bet $1 on any team to score and win $100 in free bets. If they score, you score with promo code FANRUN in all caps this week at DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL. Must be 21 or older and Tennessee only. Restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com/sportsbook for details. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call or text the Tennessee Red Line. 1-800-889-9789.
We kick off hour number two of the program. It's brought to you by the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union, the official credit union of Three and Out, and for good reason. Their customer service is unmatched. They've got over 30 branches, over 86 years, been serving East Tennesseans, and they're ready to help you at the Knoxville TVA Employees Credit Union. Check them out online at tvacreditunion.com or just walk into one of all their branches all over East Tennessee. Do we agree with the playoff teams and or matchups?
Yeah.
Because I guess the only other option would have been if it had been, what, Bama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati.
Yeah, but at that point it doesn't matter, right?
Well, I mean, it matters if you think that Georgia's a lot better or worse than Cincinnati or Michigan's a lot better or worse than Georgia, or I mean, yeah, it
but
matters.
You just said Cincinnati. I mean, Cincinnati's at four, and you just said
they're playing Alabama,
right?
Right. If Cincinnati was playing Michigan,
so you're
instead
what
of Alabama,
but you gave the scenario of Cincinnati still at four, and you flopped two and three. So you're saying if Cincinnati was three, and Georgia drops to four,
yeah, I flipped. Obviously, Georgia and Alabama were not going to be matched up against each other. No
they
matter
said
what.
They don't care. They said they would do that if it kind of fell that way.
I think they lied. I don't know. Maybe
I mean, I agree.
I think they would only do that if they had to. If it was very obvious, you know, if everyone in the country agreed that one through
but,
four,
I mean, after
what, was a certain
after
way.
After Michigan, the last two wins that they put on the board, they weren't going to be fourth. Cincinnati gets the hey, okay, you're in. You're undefeated. You get Bama. Yeah, I think it's fine.
I mean, they could have put Michigan one.
I guess so. I wouldn't have really had a problem.
Or they could have put Cincinnati.
Bama did just
or they could have
dominate
put Cincinnati three.
Right. Yeah. I'm
but
just,
that's what they. Yeah.
I mean, I just think as well as Michigan has played the last couple weeks, what Bama did to Georgia warrants them being number one. Like all the doubts we had about Alabama were answered bigly.
Well, there was a lot of people saying Georgia should be out.
I really was hoping that might happen, but kind of knew it wouldn't.
But they were saying their best win was 9-3 Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
But we said on this show all year long that Georgia, while their schedule has been pretty easy, and that's what people's argument was, the way they dominated that schedule is why they were thought so highly.
Right.
And
it's not their fault that Clemson, you know, had a little bit of a down year. Like, they scheduled the big game and won it. It just didn't end up being as big of a game in hindsight. And we made fun of that game being on the schedule, but them winning that game and Clemson not falling apart really might have kept them from dropping to five after that performance Saturday. So as much crap as we gave Kirby for scheduling it, like, if that's Eastern Kentucky State, you know, then you'd have a real argument like, well, who did they beat here?
Well, and I think if they had had a lot of closer games, even that they won inside the league, it'd be a little different. But the fact that their defense was so dominant for so many games, I think from an eyeball standpoint, they're still getting the benefit of the doubt, and probably fairly so. Like, it, yeah, they didn't look like a playoff team on Saturday.
No.
But, I mean, who else are you going to put in? You know, Notre Dame hasn't looked like a playoff team in a lot of their games. And Ohio State
I think it would have gotten really interesting if Notre Dame had played in any conference championship game. I know they had the loss to Cincinnati, but then your argument is, okay, well, Cincinnati's undefeated.
Yeah.
It was a close game.
And if Georgia, Notre Dame was like Georgia in the ACC, got, for yeah, example, yeah. and it beat Pitt Saturday night, something
would
like that.
Would they say, you know what? Well, at that point, it'd probably be Cincinnati that gets left out. But
according to this,
if Georgia had fallen all the way
but
out,
I still wonder man, if, that'd have been awesome. I still wonder if Alabama was from a different conference if they'd have put Georgia 4 and Cincinnati 3.
Maybe.
I mean, because I agree. Like, I don't think they should match up conference teams unless it's just very clear. If there's any, if it's kind of a tie, then obviously put the conference teams in different matchups. Which, like you said they don't do that, but.
Which I thought was interesting, and I'm with you. I think it's a load of crap. Like,
yeah.
I mean, they don't want a rematch.
Especially
in game
they just
one.
Played.
Yeah. Like, that would build, like, no intrigue. It's like, we just saw this game. I mean, I guess it could go differently, but I don't know. It's just fatigue.
One interesting thing is that people were saying, like, oh, Baylor should be in and Georgia completely out. And Baylor didn't even jump Ohio State, much less Notre Dame.
That I guess it doesn't matter, but that part is kind of weird. Like, why didn't they jump Ohio State?
Well, it's because, I mean, Nate, you kind of talked about it. Like, they won, but, I mean, it wasn't impressive in how they did it. Like, they... Statistically speaking,
yeah, but at least they played and won the game. Ohio State sat at home because they got popped in the mouth by Michigan.
Maybe the fact that Michigan looked so impressive against Iowa, they were like,
yeah,
yeah.
It's like, oh, Ohio State.
But I mean, Ohio State's other loss, though, was Oregon, who looked terrible.
Right.
So
I guess they're saying that was early in the season and blah, blah, blah.
And I mean, one of Baylor's losses is to the Oklahoma State team they beat.
True.
You know? So obviously, those two teams are very similar. I don't know.
I agree. Let's appeal that. I think Oklahoma State should be in and Georgia out. Or Baylor in, Georgia out. I'm with that. I'll file the paperwork.
Baylor in, Georgia out. I mean, they didn't even...
Gosh, that would have been so great.
They didn't even jump Ohio State, much less Notre Dame.
I know. But our Notre Dame, I don't care. But Georgia out, that's all I really care about here. That's all I want. Can Georgia win it all still?
No.
Yeah. Why not?
Why just now?
Theoretically, yeah, they can. But I mean, you look at them; they don't. Their offense is not going to match up well. Like, I mean, it's just.
I actually think the Michigan matchup for them might be good because Michigan's not.
Yeah.
Michigan's strength is in the trenches. That's
well,
where
Georgia's
strength
yeah.
is. So that they could win a pretty close, kind of grinded out game against Michigan. I think.
I mean, do you think Cincinnati has any chance against Alabama?
They have
probably
a puncher's chance, I'll call it.
So then they're just going to go right back up there, and it's the monkey they can never get off their back is Nick Saban. So if you think Kirby Smart can outcoach Nick Saban, then yes, Georgia has a chance.
Well, I really don't know if it's necessarily like coaching and X's and O's. They've got to get Stetson Bennett out of there. That's why I think they still can. I don't know that they will, but if they were to go and say, we are prepping JT Daniels for the bowl game, for round one of the playoffs, I think that would give them a shot, not only to win that game. I think they can win that game either way because I think the Michigan matchup is actually okay with them. But if you're going to beat Alabama, it can't be Stetson Bennett. Like, you're not dynamic enough at running back, at receiver. And now maybe if Pickens gets a little more healthy, and I think they got one more guy that they might get back, maybe. But you need somebody who can go in there and make all the throws. And Bennett just can't do that. He can't even catch a shotgun snap.
Yeah.
Took it off the dome.
Mm-hmm. That was really, really.
I mean, if they're going to win it, that's how. They're going to have to. I think. I will be stunned and eat my words if Stetson Bennett leads them to a national championship. If he plays, they won't win it. And JT Daniels may not, but I think he gives them the best shot.
Let's go to the phone lines. We've got Roberto up first this hour. What's up, Berto? You're on 3 and out.
Hey guys, great show today. Good point counterpoint. I'll just say this: if I was the committee, I would have taken Baylor over Georgia. I know that's probably not the hottest take ever, but I mean they had three top 14, if you will, wins, and by 14 I mean at the end of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Georgia had two. One of those was Kentucky, who squeaked in at 25, and the other was a hapless Clemson team with a hapless offense. They are Clemson is the biggest paper tiger in the history of the world. Now, did I want them in the bowl game? Absolutely not, because it would be so Tennessee to have a decent year and then lose to a Clemson team who sucks, at least by their standards. I look across the board. Georgia got lucky. I think if Georgia drew Bama or Cincinnati, they would have struggled. Very much so. And I think that Alabama got lucky, because I think if they drew Michigan, they would have struggled. Stylistically speaking, I think each team matches up correctly. Each SEC team matches up correctly with what they're going to go against is what they do better than the other team. So, I don't know. I hate it, but we're looking at Bama, Georgia, guys. And then I'm praying that Bain comes back. Yep. Are we all in on that? Okay.
Yeah.
Tennessee, can I bop to that? I know you guys were talking.
Yeah.
Okay. So I'm weird. Purdue and Clemson were the two matchups I didn't want to see that I kept hearing. I know people are saying Purdue sucks at running the football. But, guys, that's all – I mean, defensively, that's all Tennessee does is stop the run. They don't do much of anything else very exceedingly well. I think Purdue's kind of a bad matchup for Tennessee. How do you guys feel about that?
They've won some big games. And, I mean, Jeff Brohm, former Tennessee coach, he's got he's got insight on the program. So, I don't know. I haven't studied Purdue a lot. They do have a couple really nice wins. I'm a little confused, though. I'm looking at the line on ESPN. It says Tennessee minus 1.5. I thought the line opened at Purdue minus 3.
Yeah, I did.
It was.
Or 2.5.
So it's moved 3 points already?
Well, my thought is that ESPN has their own lines because they never seem to match up with Vegas, in my opinion. So it is kind of odd. I mean, I would probably pop onto one of the odds makers of choice. But I thought, and backed up by a few people that I know run a book, like, I thought it would be Tennessee minus 4 to -7. I mean, I thought, but clearly they think that Tennessee can't stop Purdue's pass game and that it's just going to be. Does anybody know what the over-under is? I didn't see that.
I am looking. I will get it to you as soon as I find it.
Mid-60s, high-60s is my guess. But I think that it's going to be a track meet. I think basically
58.5.
Home game. 68.5? I was going to say 68.
58. 5-8?
5-8. Oh, my God. Hammer the over.
FanDuel does have Tennessee minus 1.
Oh, wow.
That makes
sense.
That's
free money. I'd hammer the over on that one. There's going to be, I bet minimum there's 65 points, minimum. Anyways, guys, moving forward, I just don't think it's a great matchup for Tennessee. I don't think we lose, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than some of the other teams we could have played. Like, I wanted Penn State. Penn State's a name, right?
Yep.
And we would have drilled their eyeballs shut. They're not good. I wanted, somebody was kicking around Miami, which is surprising to me. I didn't even know they qualified for a bowl. I'm not making a joke here. I would have loved to have seen any of those. This isn't a great matchup for us. Lastly, gentlemen, thank you so much for the time. I just want to ask a basketball question. I finally got to really get into a game the other day and really watch it. I had time. Is Kennedy Chandler just that good, or did he just blow? I mean, I've seen a few games, and I know he's got explosive ability, but, man, he struck me as a top 10 draft pick. And I know maybe there's no hot take or anything, but it's just I was blown away at how good he looked. Was that an aberration for the rest of the season, or is he really – I mean, is he going to be the best Tennessee player since Bernard King? That's what I have to ask. Take care, guys.
Thanks for the call. Whew, he's up there.
Well, I hope so.
He's up there.
I don't know.
Well, you don't have to be right or wrong. You can change your answer. I mean, where do you rank him?
Well, there's a long way to go. He definitely has that potential. I do think he's the main thing that I took out of the weekend is he's proving what I think we said before. Like, he needs to be this year's team. We need to quit trying to play.
He's much more polished than Keon Johnson
on offense.
Jaden Springer.
We need to do everything we can to create opportunities for him to either score, or when the defense overcommits to his ability to score, then he gets other guys and the
and I think that's one of the most impressive things to me. It's not only does he get to the rim, but if he gets there and there's trouble, I think he's really good at finding the open shooter. And he's proven that. If we knock those down, it's a nightmare. Finding Powell, finding Vescovi.
Right.
He's up there though. And he's a much better shooter than everyone said. Everyone's like, oh yeah, he's not much of a 3-point shooter. And I know he didn't shoot it great against Colorado, right. But for the season, I mean, his percentage is still really good. That's what's been impressive to me. Like, you can't lay off of him and try to, you know, get in his way because he'll just stand there and pop the shot.
Well, that's why I kind of hope Powell can develop into more a higher minutes guy that consistently knocks down the outside shot, because Baylor's not going to be that guy.
I think he will.
And James isn't going to be that guy. And if you've got Santee on one side and Powell playing along Kennedy Chandler, like, you can't help out on the perimeter. So now your help's got to come around the basket, and you know, that is just going to be more opportunities for, you know, John Fulkerson and our bigs to actually contribute, or it's just gonna be Kennedy Chandler dominating, and that works as well. Come back with more. Stick with us. Hour two continues next. Hour two continues live from the White Claw Hard Seltzer Studios, Fan Run Radio. Pick you up some White Claw Hard Seltzer. Made pure.
Enjoy responsibly.
Final college football playoff rankings. Alabama, Michigan, Georgia, Cincinnati. Those are your top four. That's the playoff. Notre Dame finished fifth. Ohio State sixth. Then Baylor. Ole Miss, Oklahoma State, Michigan State rounds out the top 10. Utah got up to 11. Pitt, BYU, Oregon, Iowa. That's your top 15. Oklahoma.
Fall from grace.
Fell to 16th. Wake Forest, NC State. Clemson finished 19th. Houston, 20th.
But they've got their man.
Then Arkansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, San Diego State, and Texas A&M. Oklahoma has their man. Brent Venables, finally.
Does that just seem really weird?
Decided to be a head coach.
Seems like Bob Stoops was making the hire.
Absolutely. But with the way the game's changing, why a defensive head coach at Oak? I mean, you've got – I does not compute. I get it. You know, he's been there and he's – it's just, what are you doing?
He's respected in the program, but you had to go out and you had to hire an SEC head coach. Do you think Brent Venables is a good SEC head coach?
I don't.
I think that's the question.
I don't think he's going to.
That's the question you have to ask.
I don't think they're going to be terrible. I just don't think. I mean, do we think they upgraded?
Well, they definitely didn't upgrade. I mean, right, they had a top 10 coach in the country, so.
Right. So, I mean, has he ever been a head coach?
No. I mean, he's. You know,
I mean, it's just weird, right?
Like, you should have really strong recruiting ties, and it's not like you're bringing in a guy from like Washington State to.
Look, I think Brian Kelly's going to flame out, but at least you went. If you're LSU, you went and stole Notre Dame's winningest all-time head coach. You just went and stole like a bad Clemson's co-defensive coordinator.
After Jeremy Pruitt, that's pretty good too.
I know. I'm not saying he has.
Their defense was actually really good this year.
No,
he's a top three DC in the country. But
right.
So is Pruitt. Like, I'll never look at a DC hire for a head coach.
That's different because, really, outside of the success for Clemson, they haven't had multiple DCs. It's just been Brent Venables during their run of dominance,
right,
so to speak,
right,
which will be interesting to see what Clemson looks like once he is gone. Now, the question is, what can they do on offense? Some reports are Jeff Lebby will be leaving Ole Miss and be going there. So you'll get that on the offensive side of things. But I think he can recruit, but I think if you're Oklahoma, it was a very pivotal time to make sure that when you're making this transition to a new conference, you kind of needed somebody that's going to understand that landscape, and I just don't know if Brent Venables is the guy.
Well, I think he understands, you know, big-time college football landscape. I just – again, he's a defensive guy with no head coaching experience. I'm worried about them offensively. Like,
yeah, well, I mean, that's definitely something to worry about, but –
I mean, if they get Lebby, it's like, okay, that's pretty good.
I the conversation all along is like Brent Venables just isn't the type of person that would be a good head coach. Like, that's kind of the reason, like, he's never taken a job elsewhere. It's like he doesn't really want that moment. But I guess now that Oklahoma came calling, I mean, that's a good job. I'm sure the money.
Yeah, if not now, never, right?
Yeah, the money in which we've seen this year with coaching contracts is through the roof. You probably just said, even if I flame out, like, this is a payday I have to accept. I mean, at this point, I'm thinking he's going to be making over $6 million a year.
Probably. To get him away. It's just strange. So I'm going to give that hire a meh. We'll see. Like, you know, he'll probably recruit really well. I don't know about the offensive side of the ball. If he gets Lebby, maybe, but I don't know if Lebby's a dynamic recruiter.
You also had to think with the way the transfer portal is now, I know, like, not one player is more important than the program, but how are the offensive players for Oklahoma going to look at that, and are they thinking, all right, this is my time, I'm using my one free transfer,
sure,
and then you just have a mass exodus of all the talent that they have mm-hmm. on offense?
I mean, that team was catered and built towards offense, and they've been trying to fix the defense for a while, but now you just lost Lincoln Riley, offensive mastermind, and you're bringing in a guy who, you know, should fix the defense. But is that what you want to be in 2021, 22? Like, is that where you want to be? Like, oh, yeah, our defense, man. Oh,
for
yeah.
me,
look
it's
at Georgia.
Yeah, I was going to say, that prime example. Oh, best defense ever. Oh. And then one good offensive night from Alabama, and everyone's like, ooh, maybe that's a bad plan.
Well, for me, it's a classic case of, we know they hired a good football coach. Like, he's good at what he's done before.
Sure.
But we have no clue whether they hired a good head football coach for Oklahoma. Like, we just don't, like, there's just no way to know. I mean, he's been a good coordinator his whole career, whether it be at Oklahoma or at Clemson. I mean, he you know, we said this about Jeremy Pruitt, though. Like, he, you know, Brent Venables knows what it takes and what it looks like to win a national championship. I mean, he was coaching at Oklahoma when they won a national championship in 2000.
Mm-hmm.
He's been coaching at Clemson when they've won national. He's coached in 8 national championship games. But he's never been the head guy.
Right.
Like, you don't know what, how that's, and even if he had any change, like, you don't know how he's going to be at Oklahoma now as the head guy, especially with them coming into a new conference.
And maybe it's just because I've been burned, but I just view this as, all right, well, Bob Stoops went out and handpicked his guy, and he's going to say, you know what, I can mold him into a mm-hmm. championship caliber head coach. And he's defensive-minded like I am, and he knows how to recruit. And so I'm going to lead him down the path to success. And we've just seen that story before.
I was going to say, it does sound familiar, doesn't it? Like I said, meh. What is going on in Miami? What are they doing?
So
what are they doing?
If you didn't follow this over the weekend, they're trying to hire Mario Cristobal from Oregon.
Right.
But they don't want to fire Manny Diaz until they know that they've got Mario Cristobal locked in.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they're doing probably what Tennessee should have done back in 2016. At the end of that season, you knew Butch was not going to be successful in 2017. I mean, we saw it. He had the worst year in school history.
Well, they should have fired him in 2016 regardless, but yeah.
But we didn't have an AD, and Miami, as stupid as this might sound, they said they're going to figure out the head coaching problem, get that sorted away first, and then go and hire an athletic director. Which is not the recipe to success if you're looking to having a good relationship between your head coach and your athletic director as far as working step in step. It's Mario Cristobal has until now. I don't know if they said midday Monday. I don't know since he's out there on the West Coast. I don't know if they set a deadline
between
for,
noon and 3. Yeah.
Yeah. As far as like which time zone they were looking at for that answer. But Cristobal has a deadline of making the decision whether he wants to be the head coach here. I have no idea what that payout is or his buyout, but I'm sure it's pretty heavy.
We looked it up. Yeah, I think it's up there. I think it's way
thought they were like $7 million.
Weren't they looking at giving him another extension up at Oregon?
Probably.
I don't know. I mean, they look pretty crappy.
Yeah, that's true. Maybe that's why they look so bad.
That didn't stop Michigan State from making Mel Tucker a $9 million a year head coach. But
didn't the Raiders do this with, like, when they got Gruden? Who was their coach? Was it Del Rio?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But they, like, already had it done. Like, you can only pull this off if you can do it very, very quickly.
Right.
Like,
but they don't have anybody in place to...
Like, Cristobal, you want to take the job? No, you don't? Okay, never mind. Forget about it. And then no one ever knows.
Like,
or,
like, if you're Cristobal,
want to take the job?
If you're,
yes,
Manny,
you do.
Diaz...
Okay. You're hired, and then you announce Manny Diaz is fired, and that's it. Like, it can't, it
how,
can't,
how do you recruit
linger
right now if you're Manny Diaz?
You can't.
You can't.
But,
I think I'd leave if I'm him. Like, well, you're not going to make it there.
You just go through the motions just so you can get your buyout.
Yeah, yeah. You do it. But, like, I think Barrett Slee tweeted something like, this is extremely disrespectful for Manny Diaz. It's like, dude, I don't have any sympathy for the guy who was the head coach at Temple for 2 days and then bolted
come
back to Miami.
He's,
like,
He's getting a little goes around, comes around situation here, but still.
It's a cutthroat business, and if they decide to part ways with him, it's not like he's going to have a reduced buyout. He's going to get the full extent of his term, so he's going to be a rich man one way or another regardless. So
it's just weird that they're going after Cristobal. Then they're going to get their athletic director figured out, which makes no sense. And apparently, did you see that they're funding all of this with pandemic profits from the medical school? Because
no.
They don't have any money in the athletic budget, so they're using money that the medical school made during the pandemic. Like, they've got apparently like a $400 million surplus there that they're borrowing.
You said $400 million?
Something like that.
It's a lot.
It's a big number.
Speaking of which, everyone's like, well, Lane Kiffin bolt. Lane Kiffin has agreed to a new deal with Ole Miss, so he's getting a raise and extension.
Good for him, I guess. So Miami, definitely not railroading their own program.
Would you even want to come in that way if you're Cristobal?
Nope. No. Don't know who your AD is going to be. Diaz got, what, 2 years, 3 years? Two? But maybe four, or what? Like, we might not fire him. I mean, it's just a horrible way to do business. Like, I'm with you. It has to happen quick, and then maybe it gets out later like, yeah, we were talking to Cristobal and it didn't really work out. But we were going to make a move if he'd have said yes. Okay, that's fine. Now this is in the news. It's like a big story. If I'm Manny Diaz, it's like, hey, recruit, come to the U.
Well, it is, but it sets up really nice. If you're Manny Diaz, you actually kind of want this to be out in the public, because whenever it comes time to you getting your next job, you're like, listen, like the structure was awful. They knew that they didn't want me to be there after a while. And, like, as you mentioned, Nate, it was a sabotage. Like, I couldn't recruit whenever there's all these rumors out there. Everybody else, like, talk about, like, they're recruiting against Tennessee, saying, like, oh, the NCAA sanctions. It's like, they're trying to hire another head coach while I'm still employed.
It's like finding the next love interest while you're still in a relationship. Like, I don't really want to break up with her until I get a good option here. Hey, are you're interested? How interested? Like, pretty interested? Like, if I broke up with her, would you? Like, it's just stupid. It's just not. It's bad business.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it goes back to if they're going to cheat on you, like, what's to not say they're going to cheat on the next person? You
right.
Know?
Yeah. Well, that's the fascinating part to me. It's like if I'm another coach, Cristobal or not, and I'm looking at this situation, I'm thinking, is this really where I want to be?
Right.
Like, this could be me in 2 years, and this is not a great way to do business.
Yep. It's very odd, for sure. We'll come back with more. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out. Hour 2 continues. 3 and Out. Appreciate you joining us on this Monday edition. Bowl schedule set, Houston.
Indeed it is.
Not exactly what most Tennessee fans, well, not exactly what a lot of Tennessee fans wanted. I don't know. Maybe there's a lot of fans in and around Nashville that are excited
about it,
that Tennessee's going to be in the Music City Bowl on, what is that, New Year's Eve? No. Day before New Year's Eve.
New Year's Eve.
Okay. The 30th.
Yawn.
What did you want?
Florida Bowl.
Why? You going to go? No. So what do you care?
I might actually go to the Music City Bowl.
So what do you care? Thursday, December 30th
at 3 o'clock on ESPN, Tennessee will take on Purdue.
Purdue.
In the Trans Perfect Music City Bowl.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
That'll be back-to-back games in Nissan Stadium. You know, if you count the orange and white game.
Yeah.
I don't count that.
It says game. You idiot.
Let's go on the win-loss column at the end of the year.
Well, one team gets steak, the other team gets hot dogs. I'd say that's a win.
Davey, you were incorrect.
There's a stunner.
About Trans Perfect. It's a translation company.
Oh.
I said a transportation. Nah, that was close.
Yeah. Yeah.
I said that off the air.
A little different.
So?
Still. Well, now they all know you're wrong.
They're based out of New York.
It was a guess anyway. Mm-hmm. Problem though, I just say everything as if I'm super confident. So. Everyone's just like, "Oh yeah, that's Davey. He's probably right this time."
Until we
fact
check you, like when you said I didn't know the altitude difference between Boulder and Denver, I was correct. You were incorrect. You just want to argue.
I just said it wasn't mile high.
You said it's not as high in altitude as Denver, and I said I think it's actually higher. Like, no, that's wrong. It's fine. It's okay.
Texas A&M got the Gator Bowl. Tax Slayer Gator Bowl against Wake Forest in Jacksonville.
That would have been fun.
Texas A&M who?
Got the Tax Slayer Gator Bowl.
Against who?
Wake.
Wake Forest.
Claw Fence.
God, that would have been a boring matchup, too.
What are you talking about?
Wake Forest?
I'm just saying, it's like Purdue.
Neither team plays defense.
I'm saying brand name. Oh, well, like, you know,
the over-under would have been like 94.5.
I like Roberto's point. Like, if we beat Purdue, if you lose to Purdue, it's like, they lost to Purdue? Is, like, Purdue any good? No one knows. But if you beat Penn State, even if Penn State stinks, it's like, oh, they beat Penn State.
Well, Arkansas got Penn State in the Outback Bowl.
They're probably going to cream Penn State.
Penn State's 3.5-point favorite.
I just said probably.
Then Kentucky got the Citrus Bowl in Orlando against Iowa.
You're kidding.
No.
What a cakewalk
game.
Good gravy.
Yeah. So those are kind of the other options for Tennessee. Obviously, Georgia and Alabama in the playoff. Ole Miss is in the Sugar Bowl against Baylor. That'll be a fun one. Good matchup.
How is Tennessee one of only six bowls with tickets as low as $100? Is it like Music City Bowl prices that high?
Mm-hmm.
UCLA, 76. NC State.
Yeah.
In the San Diego County Credit Union Holiday Bowl. Oh, wow. 107.
That's higher than I thought.
Tennessee,
actually.
Purdue, 100. Cincinnati, Alabama, tickets as low as $105. And then Georgia, Michigan, of course, that's kind of a big one. $569.
Alabama fans saving their money.
Sure. Utah, Ohio State, 304. And Notre Dame, Oklahoma State, 124. Tennessee is not, these are not the same. I believe, yeah. Tennessee, the only bowl game that does not feature a ranked team with ticket prices over $100. Give me a break. I would not buy these tickets until, like, day before. Keep that note, Dave. Don't waste your money on tickets now because these prices are going to go down. Like, is Purdue going to travel?
Duke's Mayo Bowl got North Carolina and South Carolina, which...
Is that considered a better bowl? Surely not, right? But I think I would have preferred to do that one.
I think they're like kind of in the same level and just depends.
I guess because we're doing the Mayo Classic in 2 years.
But obviously, because of who they got and who the Music City Bowl got, I think Charlotte said, hey, we'll take crappier teams if we can have a Battle of the Carolinas.
I was going to say, at least they got that.
More tickets.
Yeah.
And
that's why Music City
said
we take
the same thing. Yeah, give us Tennessee. We'll at least be full orange.
Orange. I sound like you said orange.
No R. Orange.
You sound like Brian Kelly.
It's pretty easy to get down
that orange and white.
Pretty easy to get to Nashville from Indiana too, right? Purdue.
Yeah, I can't remember the highway number. It runs right down there.
I mean, somebody was saying like that both of those bowls just went with. The regionality.
Trying to sell
the
tickets, yeah. I get it. It's fine. I just, I don't know, Purdue.
And they said the Outback Bowl really wanted Arkansas because the Arkansas fans.
They're excited. They're pumped up. And they should be. Apparently, before Tennessee was announced to the Music City Bowl, tickets were $35. So shouts out to Trans Perfect. Right? Trans Perfect? Anyone?
Bueller? Yes,
thank you, Hickman, as the other two are asleep. I don't know. You might be going to this game. I figured.
Yeah, I think you'd be on it.
All right. Thanks. Good stuff from Dave, as always. Did you see Joe Brady's out in Carolina?
Yeah, that was an oddity from the weekend.
Man, I think we got to make a call. I don't know if we have a position for him, but you might make one for Joe Brady, right?
Yeah.
See if he can come in and help out with the offense. Not change it, just like, hey, we like this.
If Joe Brady's like never any good anywhere else, like, are we going to look back at that LSU team and be like, how did Steve Ensinger and Joe Brady just find lightning? I mean, Joe Burrow's been, you know, pretty good as an NFL quarterback.
Didn't have a great day yesterday, but he's pretty good.
I'd call him hurt, Brent Venables.
Now that's,
I would too. Not a bad idea. That's why I said hire him, just so he can't go somewhere else. But I just don't think we have a position that we could pay him enough. Because I'm with Davey. If I'm Brent Venables, that's my first call. It's not even. I know that Jeff Lebby. Yeah, whatever. I'd take a shot on Joe Brady before I'd take Jeff Lebby. Although that would hurt Kiffin a little bit. Brady doesn't really. I think I'd make a call. Maybe he wants to be an analyst for a year. We'd offer him that spot.
Oh, okay.
Get him, get Cutcliffe, get Arch Manning. I don't get punched in the face.
Yeah, that'd be good.
It's a win.
Just so we get to that, what do you think the odds are of us even calling him for an analyst role?
It's probably zero.
I'd say it'd be pretty disrespectful, but yeah, I'm with you.
Probably zero. Maybe a text. Just a, you up? Want to come to? Nope. Okay. You're going to make $2 million at Oklahoma? Got it. Have a good day.
Yeah. I don't know. That's weird, man.
Very. Very.
I mean, just not get along with Matt Rhule. Just they need a scapegoat. I mean, I don't.
They don't have a quarterback.
Right.
So. Maybe. I mean, I know it says he got fired. Maybe he's like, guys, this ain't going to work because you don't have any talent. So just fire me now. And bring somebody else in to deal with this mess.
Seriously.
Hmm.
I don't know, man.
I still don't know why they paid Matt Rhule $8 million a year to come there, but.
What do you have? You have one good year at Baylor?
I mean, he helped fix Temple, but yeah, basically one year where people actually were noticing him at Baylor.
Right. I don't know.
The NFL's so weird. So the Panthers started 3-0. Then they lost four in a row. They beat Atlanta, who's awful. They lost to New England. Those two make sense. Then they went on the road and blasted the Cardinals. Now, I know they didn't have Kyler Murray, but still, like, the Cardinals had come out. And then
they had Cam Newton.
Now they've lost to Washington and Miami.
Yeah, because Tua is playing out of his mind down there. Have you seen his stats lately?
Five straight.
Have they won five straight?
Mm-hmm. They got a bye next week.
And he's
though.
Completing something like 86% of his passes over the last two games.
I guess they
call that a heater.
I guess they kind of threatened him being the guy, you know, with all the rumors and stuff, and he's responded.
It motivated him. Sometimes that works out.
They did. I mean, they're doing well. No, they're not five straight.
Are you sure?
They're 5-7 right now, right?
Miami's 6-7.
Oh, they're 6-7. So they start the season 1-7?
It was not good.
I knew it was bad, but...
They have won five straight, according to the NFL.com standings.
They beat the Patriots in week one.
5-0.
I should have remembered that because I picked...
You should have.
Picked the Patriots. Then, yes, they lost 7 in a row, and they've now won 5 straight.
So, their wins during that stretch, they beat the Texans. They beat the Ravens on Thursday night at home. Lamar Jackson had a terrible game. They then proceed to beat the Jets, and they beat the Dolphins... Sorry, the Dolphins then beat the Panthers. I don't know why I said
they are the Dolphins.
Yes. And then yesterday they beat Mike Glennon and the Giants.
Well, yes, the schedule is obviously a lot lighter now, but it's still impressive because we didn't think they were that good. Figured they'd slip up here and there.
They get their next couple of games, or they get to play the Jets again. Mm-hmm. They then get to play the Saints, who don't have a quarterback. And then the Titans host them. So
there you go. We'll
see what happens there.
Man.
It is an easy schedule.
When's that Notre Dame Duke game? New Year's Day?
Yes.
You going to swing back and go to the Titans? You should go to the Tennessee basketball the bowl game on the 30th. Head on up, watch your boy, come back for the Titans game. That would be a sports trip.
It would
extravaganza.
Be. Mm-hmm. Well, we'll see what can happen. I was hoping to just save up for playoff tickets. Right now, the Titans have a 1% chance of not making the playoffs. So we'll see how we'll continue to monitor that number.
It's a good idea.
Yeah.
As far as the wins for the losses, they did beat the Pats, but then they got shelled by the Bills 35-0. They lost to the Raiders in overtime. They got beat by the Colts. They lost to the Bucks. They lost to the Jags. They then lost to the Falcons. I'm not sold on the Dolphins. They're playing hot right now, but they just they're beating the nobodies, which you got to do. But we'll see what happens whenever they play some better competition. Have you looked at the standings though for the AFC right now, and who else still in contention?
What do you mean? I mean, I'm looking at it.
Well, I mean, you got basically teams for the wild card, and 5 through 13 are only a game apart.
Yeah, I mean, Houston, Jacksonville.
Houston's the only team mathematically eliminated from
the
playoffs.
The New York Jets are the only three that feel like completely out of it. So the Jets are mathematically still in, but they're 3-9.
Yeah, the Jags are mathematically still in.
So
Detroit's mathematically still in on the NFC side after that big win yesterday.
That's true. They're not eliminated.
But, I mean, there's only three teams there's only three teams in the AFC that don't have 6 wins.
Correct.
It's crazy. Nuts. Final segment. Hour 2 next. Final segment, hour 2. Tonight you got Pats Bills. Good Monday night football game.
Huge Monday night football game.
Who are you pulling for?
Oh, Bills, 100%. If the Bills win, the Titans become the one seed again.
Mm. There you go. You got a big win from the Steelers.
That helped too, yes. I did. No one cares, but I'm going to talk about it because
no one cares.
It's the final week for a lot of people going into the fantasy playoffs of the NFL.
Uh-huh.
And right now I have a 0.9 lead, thanks to Travis Kelce only getting like 4 points last night. So, but I got Tyler Bass to play tonight, so as long as he doesn't throw an interception or fumble it, I should be okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about just pulling him all together.
Nah, I can't do it.
But I can't because there could be a stat correction.
Exactly.
And I could get screwed there, so. Crazy stuff.
Man. I'm first in my league. I got a big lead heading into tonight. I got Josh Allen, Diggs, Knox. I'm feeling pretty good.
There you go.
He's done. I'm up by 40. I could bench him, but I don't think we're in danger of a negative 40.
Got to run it up.
Points matter.
Yeah, points matter.
I mean, not really because I'm number one in the league by like 2 games, but you know.
Last night, Kansas City 22, Denver 9. That was kind of a boring game, especially for Kansas City standards.
I think I might have saw the longest drive ever end in 0 points.
Hmm. Congratulations.
It was very boring.
Seattle beat San Francisco 30-23. Baltimore went for 2. Mark Andrews maybe should have caught it.
And it's too far out in front of him. Even if he caught it, he's probably falling down and getting touched short of getting in the end zone.
Yeah. Mark Jackson did not have a good game at all.
Very emotional game.
I was also playing against him. At one point, I thought, did you see the final drive for the Ravens where he fumbles it, but it goes out of bounds before the Steelers guy can get to it?
Mm-hmm.
I was just like, man, if that's negative 2 points for Lamar if they're able to recover. But he ends up going down there. Sammy Watkins, potentially game-tying touchdown. And,
but they went for the win.
I do like the call to go for it there, man. Like, it's so weird. Like, Pittsburgh won that game.
It worked for ETSU over the weekend.
Pitt won that game, but they just aren't good. Big Ben over the weekend said, yeah, this is likely my last year with the Steelers, which I mean, I would hope. Like that, I just don't.
It's a weird way to say that.
Yeah.
Because it's almost like he's saying, but I'll go somewhere else right. if I get it, and no one is going to want you. I wouldn't think.
He's just old.
He's too old.
He did have a really good pass, too. I think it was Deontay Johnson, and he just dropped it, like right in his hands, and they had to settle for a field goal. But I mean, he was still able to put it on the money, but he just doesn't have what made Big Ben Big Ben, where he's
right.
in the pocket, just scrambling around, no one can tackle him.
The football team beat the Raiders 17-15.
That was a close one.
Washington's on a heater. Mm. Rams bounced back, killed the Jags 37-7. That was my eliminator pick.
Shout out Cooper Kupp.
The Bucks 30, Falcons 17.
Falcons, man. Their offense, like they just don't have any talent on offense outside of Cordero Patterson.
Well, I still don't understand what they're doing with Kyle Pitts. They leave him in the block all the time, and then when he's split out wide, they never target him. I just don't understand that. I would just throw him the ball basically every time.
Is there one position in the NFL that struggles more in year one than the tight end position?
No.
Like that is the one position group that like anytime it's a first year tight end, like they can't really get anything going.
The
like,
Pittsburgh guy's done well. Like, he was the second best tight end.
He's come on. Yeah,
it's taken a while. I drafted him late.
He got the 2-point conversion for them because Boswell missed an extra point, so they had to go for two to go up 20-13 there late to force Baltimore to then Baltimore ended up going for two. But yeah, Pat Freiermuth. That just sounds like a Pittsburgh tight end.
Sure does. Not much.
He's not from Iowa, but he kind of gives me that vibe. I don't know why. He's from Penn State.
I mean, plays for Pittsburgh. They look like Iowa. Mm. Uniforms and such.
Iowa tight end George Kittle went off last night.
He's good. He's good.
Chargers blasted the Bengals.
Bengals had a chance, man. They came back. The Chargers were up like 24-0, and it ended up being 24-22. And then Joe Mixon fumbled it, and the Chargers took it back to the end zone.
And the final was 41-22.
Yeah.
Some weird streaks in that game.
I thought my boy Herbert was going to break some records. He had like 44 points in the first half. Then he threw a pick, and then I guess they just ran the ball in the second half. I think he only ended up with like
44 points in your league.
I don't know.
Kyler Murray was back. Cardinals beat the Bears 33-22. And then the Gardner Minshew show.
Hey,
Eagles 33, Jets 18.
Yes, the Jets.
I know.
Yeah, he came out and said, you know what? I'm just going to throw every ball to Dallas Goedert, and it worked.
It did. Detroit got their first win, 29-27 over Minnesota.
Last play of the game.
That was a good game.
Amon-Ra St. Brown.
Colts beat the Texans 31-0, and Miami beat the New York Giants 20-9, Dallas 27, Saints 17. That was Thursday Night Football, of course. We'll come back, kick off hour 3. Stick with us right here on 3 and Out.